Hi, everyone, and welcome to season 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. Can you believe it? Already to season 5? It has been a whirlwind year already. A lot has happened. You guys know after listening to season 4 that I just launched Chameleon Mindset, my new book about how to embrace change and build mental resilience to transform your life and career. Lots more information, obviously, coming on Chameleon Mindset. We'll have the new online course coming soon. We've been doing lots of webinars, and I'll be on the road for the book tour. So hopefully we'll get to catch up together soon. Because why not just do another one? I have another book that just came out, The Great Leadership Awakening. In this book, I collaborated with 20 other amazing women. Each of them contributed a chapter talking about when their leadership was awakened and part of their transformation, maybe over the pandemic or maybe over a longer period of time, really stepping into their power and showing what it means to truly be a leader. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to season 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. We are interviewing the wonderful authors of The Great Leadership Awakening. And today my guest is Jennifer. You're going to love Jennifer's energy. And we're going to talk a little bit about her and her wonderful business partner and all the exciting ventures that she has going. Just a quick short bio. If I read the whole thing, it's going to take the whole podcast because she's done so much amazing stuff. But Jennifer is the founder and CEO of Quantum Insurance Services, an award-winning commission-agnostic insurance consulting firm passionate about providing clients with best-in-class insurance designs for life, disability, long-term care, annuities, commercial risk, and employee benefits, and so much more. So her and her business partner did Chapter 6, if you're looking in your book, Women and Wealth, Cultivating Empowerment from the Inside Out. So exciting to have you here today, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Nikki. And it's exciting to collaborate with you, the author extraordinaire. I don't know how you write so much at once, but clearly there are extra synapses firing in your brain compared to the rest of us.
I find writing is one of the fun, really good things that I like to do, especially it helps me decompress. It helps me put my thoughts together. I don't like editing. Editing is not my favorite part, though.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. I really do. I'm like, look, it's out there. I've been obsessed with David Bowie lately. I don't know why. And I think one of the things he was amazing at is like really not editing himself very much. He just would kind of like do it and then just be like, it's good. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't effort in, but I mean, he didn't censor himself, which is good.
Yeah. And more of us need to learn from that, right? It's like, I feel like kind of editing too much and you lose a bit of the genuineness, the, you know, the vulnerability and just kind of going off the cuff. And the more you do it, the easier and better you get at it.
Absolutely. And I love that as a woman that you've embodied that. I mean, I think that ties into kind of like what we are chatting about and what the book is about is, you know, we are claiming the right to sort of show up in so many different ways. And that goes down into like, how do you write? Do you like do a lot of shoulds or do you do a lot of I ams? Like, this is me and like take it, you know, that's kind of like what guys are taught to do, right? To some extent, I'm not saying that they're immune. Of course, they have feelings and sensitivities and fears and everything else too. But culturally, I think it's really great that if everybody, including women, can start to think that way, I think it's good.
Absolutely. And these chapters, it's so great. What I really love too is as much as we've had different, you know, walks of life, different experiences, there are also still a lot of similarities in how we approach things and, you know, what we want to tackle and just being together in a community. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got Women of Wealth started, your business partner, just so folks can get to know a little bit more about you and your story.
Yeah, happy to. So honestly, it all started with a prism. 4 years ago, I was getting coffee with my husband near my office and I saw a friend come into the coffee shop and she was exhausted looking and I was like, hey, girl, what's up? And she's like, oh, I'm exhausted. I went to this crappy women's business event downtown. We're in Los Angeles. She was like, but it was like a total waste of time. And then this light came through and there was like a rainbow on the ground. And I just saw this rainbow flash and I had this inspiration. And I realized, I was like, wait, you're right. All the existing networking groups for female entrepreneurs stink. We need to form our own. And I was like, Val, I know so many entrepreneurial women because I do employee benefits. And so I'm always learning about, you know, amazing female entrepreneurs. So why don't I get some of my people and you're a female entrepreneur. Let's just get 20 of us together and we'll talk about business together. And she was like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. I was like, it'll be so much better than some crappy thing downtown. And then she introduced me to a woman who introduced me to Adipia. And the long story short is once Adipia and I met, it was like, it's just like those moments where there's a crowded room, but everyone else disappeared. Like Adipia and I were so of the same mindset in that we really feel there's both a really elevated spiritual component to every human and every human's trajectory. And at the same time, especially for women, when you're trying to elevate, there's a super grounded, practical piece that has to do with things like the nuts and bolts of what's your banking relationship? What's the interest rate on any credit that you're using to finance your business? Like granular stuff. It can't all just be woo. And so since she and I were so powerfully both of those things, like hardcore finance and hardcore spiritual, we just kind of ended up, you know, the other two sort of frittered away. I don't really know. I mean, but Adipia and I just never stopped on that mission. And here 4 years later, we've co-written this chapter. WOW is a mastermind and a nonprofit organization dedicated to taking women from financial literacy to fluency to mastery. And this is only, year two, maybe, of us officially having launched, but the momentum has been pretty high.
Oh, I love it. And it's so important. And when I work with entrepreneurs, I find the same thing is they're very passionate about what the thing is that they were trying to build, but a lot of them don't have the financial acumen to really run the business, the back end of the house. But it's so critical because knowing whether you're profitable, are you actually making money? Where are you spending money? And also, like you guys are teaching, also to invest and in making sure you're building more for the future. So I love what you're doing. I started my career in financial planning and it was difficult as a woman to be in that industry. So I also just love that more women are coming together to reimagine what it looks like and making it more comfortable for other people to join and learn and improve their lives.
Amen, sister. Thank you. You're saying that. I totally agree. One of the things we love saying is that good things happen when women have more money. Really. Because women, this crazy statistic yesterday from this woman, she's quoting things from the Institute for Lifetime Income or something. I think that's, I'll fact check this. But the stats stood out to me, which was nuts, is that women tend to take 90% of their wealth and reinvest it in their families and their communities. Now, that's not the way men act with their money. When we make more money, we put it back into things with meaning, not, as much into, mistresses, golf and like hot rods, not that old men do that. They're responsible men, but the stewardship around wealth, when women have more of it, really gets translated into powerful connection and community, which is why when women seize more control over wealth, we actually are seizing the financial landscape more responsibly. And when we're seeing things like SVB with the collapse of that, that's really a lot of irresponsible action. People are trying to say it's because of the Fed, but it's actually a lot of irresponsible action, overinvesting. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but suffice it to say yes to women and women in finance.
But it is important. And these things continue to come up. I talk about in my chapter, but also, in my talk yesterday during the summit is the irresponsibility of the leadership that I continued to see when I was in Silicon Valley. And it was no matter which company I was at, like the leadership was just repeatedly irresponsible the way that they spent the money, because they spent company money the same way they spent their money. That it was, an equivalent of hot rods and things. It was elaborate parties. It was, excessive alcohol. It was unsafe environments for most of the employees to actually be at. And it was only feeding their egos. It wasn't really doing anything to actually build up the team, actually make them feel like they are connected and working together towards a bigger goal and vision. And whenever I had celebrations, I really tried to make sure it was about the team, not about me hosting, and overspending company money, right?
I love that. Look, I was an anthropology major at Princeton, and I studied culture and meaning. That was what I was obsessed with, was how do human beings make meaning out of things? And the bottom line is we're built to need meaning. So even when they spend money and then they end up like binging too much on money and spend, they feel empty. And then they crave meaning. So they're really missing like the one thing that they really want. So when we provide that for people, people are happy, humans, male or female. And so what you're talking about is like super deep, hashtag profound truth.
Yes, exactly. There's so many great quotes in your chapter. One of the ones I want to talk about is, so we almost never ask for or expect to receive anything we haven't worked hard to deserve. and this mentality of one, just hard work for the sake of hard work, but also not deserving, you know, to get paid equal wages, or, you know, that I have to work more in order to get the same, that this narrative has been going on too long, and helping to reprogram that in so many women.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Look, it's all about scale, right? And it's like the power of exponential math. So if what we make and what we create is always and only going to be directly tied to the energy we put out, right? It's very heavy. It's very much like singular. It can't iterate outward. When we learn how to leverage wealth to let money work for us and make money for us while we sleep, right? Or even to be elevated into positions where, let's say, we've gotten really good at what we do, and now we work from a place of mastery and receive respect and, you know, dollars in equivalent proportion to our level of mastery, because we aren't lowering ourselves so much, that we're actually making more for the same amount of effort that we're putting out. And that's really where there's finally some, you know, abundance. And then the thing for women especially is, like, money is time, and time is money. So when you have more money, you can maybe pay for a couple of meals a week to be delivered so that you can have more time with your children, or, you know, your pets, if that's what you have instead of kids, or your husband, if, you know, or your hobby, even if you're, you know, happily single. Time is so precious for women especially. And really, sometimes the only way to have time is money, because there are so many different roles, and we can only afford to delegate them if we have money, or we happen to have family, and, you know, who happens to be just perfect that we get along with. All of those are very rare circumstances. So the easy way is just have more money, and then you can delegate the things that someone else can do that, you know, allows you to lean into your areas of most necessity and genius, be that family, where you have meaning and impact, and also at your own job, where you make the most bang for your buck.
And I see so many women do it. And again, replicating sort of what we saw in our mothers and grandmothers is, you know, both my mom and my grandmother, they worked full time, you know, and they were still trying to raise the family and do all the housework and all the things. And it was exhausting. And when I first moved out and, you know, married my husband, it was like, oh, I was trying to do all the things too, you know, go to school, do my MBA at night, then come home, cook, clean, blah, blah. And I was like, burnt out by the time I was 23. And I just said, this isn't right. This isn't the way this is going to work. And really starting to reevaluate, like, what are the things I need to be doing? Where am I investing in myself? You know, school, investing in the family, quality time together, you know, and making sure that you are getting help where you need it in all those different areas, right?
I've had to take away that shame. I mean, I remember, like, when I didn't grow up with money. So to have a housekeeper was very foreign to me. And to pay to have a housekeeper, even though, of course, at a certain point, it just made more sense for me to do that from a financial standpoint, there was this combination of, I'm not good enough, that's why I have to get a housekeeper, or maybe shame around the fact that I have someone working for me and I'm not sure I deserve that. All this other, like, crazy stuff that's kind of like baggage around even just the practical way of how do you try and do all of these things. So there's layers on layers of what kind of we've inherited from generations, right, that we have to kind of break.
Yeah, it's so, so important. And another great quote, we all have a personal responsibility to reclaim our power and let go of what doesn't add value to our lives. So it's not always about more and more and more, but it's also about, you know, letting go and saying no to certain things. And I know that's something many of us struggle with.
Yeah, I think women especially, we're so conscientious that we have the ability to pay attention to detail, typically speaking, if you just look at the way our brains work. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we should. And that's one thing men do really beautifully. And I think it's really important we remember that this is not a men bashing, right? This is a female honoring and a bringing back into the equation of both the yin and the yang of female as well as masculine energy, because masculine energy has kind of been allowed to run a little too rampant and unchecked and dominate without a healthy balance. But what males do have, and that, you know, is because of the way when you look at it, typically the brains work in males a certain way and versus the female brains, they have the ability to simplify certain things. They don't pick up the level of detail in certain places. And so they can cut through all of the chaff and get to, like, the wheat, right? And that is important for us to do as well, because otherwise we will just, like, to-do list ourselves to death.
Well, and it is so important to remember that balance. You know, and I talk about things that, you know, like misogyny and stuff. It's not just man over woman and that domination and that power over. It's really anyone that's trying to dominate and have that power over and put somebody else down. But important is to get all of us back into a better balance so that men feel safe, women feel safe financially, you know, all the other ways that we have safety and security, loved, able to express our emotions and be able to come together as people and really start to better express ourselves and not be afraid to share, like when you need help and when you don't understand something. I think that's another beautiful thing that you guys work on is it's a safe space for people to ask questions. If you don't understand part of your benefits or your retirement or something that you want to work on, then let's talk about it in very common terms so that we can all get smarter together. And I'm sure you've seen some amazing transformations with the people that you work with. Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Green, and I am a life and business resiliency expert. I have been helping people for over 2 decades overcome their challenges and achieve their life and business goals. I wrote Chameleon Mindset for others seeking clarity while acclimating to new situations. This entertaining yet research-based guide to transitions will open your mind to unique strategies for finding purpose and achieving your goals. Through my new book, you will create the happy life you desire with 5 philosophies for change, beginning with C for creative adaptability. Move from resistance to resilience by assessing and adjusting your risk tolerance. The practical lessons in Chameleon Mindset will help you shift your mindset, sharpen your skill set, and overcome the things holding you back from dealing with change. We'll have the new online course coming soon. There are 6 modules in total, but the way you choose to pursue your destiny, it's up to you. Each module can be done independently or repeated as necessary to tackle new obstacles and new goals in your life. And you can earn extra chameleon coins for uncovering them. What are chameleon coins, you might ask? These are reward XP that you can earn to purchase additional Chameleon Mindset benefits as you progress through the course. You can get swag, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, exclusive event tickets, and networking opportunities. And if you collect enough coins, you can even earn a full-day VIP intensive with me to work solely on your goals. And by joining the Chameleon crew, you will also gain access to my network of thousands of influential people around the world with expertise to help you on your business, your personal endeavors, health and fitness, and so much more. Reserve a copy today and click below to be added to our subscriber list.
Oh, absolutely. Nikki, you just said something so profound. I remember I was flown to headquarters at Allianz one time as a top performer in my sector, right? And it was there to go learn about new products from Allianz, which is like a great annuity company in the Midwest. And it was like 16 maybe producers from all across the country. Of course, I was the only female. And I've always asked all these dumb questions, quote unquote, dumb questions, because if I don't understand something yet, I'm not going to get the right answer. I was always like that. So I would raise my hand. And until I understood that annuity product, I was not quiet, even if I felt really dumb and thick, like I should have understood it faster. But I kept asking. Well, then at the lunch break, this guy, this older white male, the guy who looks like he knows everything, you know, the one who fits the picture of what we think the guys who know what they're talking about, he came up to me and he said, you know, thank you for asking those questions. I was wondering the same thing, but I was too embarrassed to ask. Now, that was an aha moment for me because I thought, first of all, wait, you're telling me you would have flown back home not knowing and then you would have proceeded to go sell these products? How could you do that? I could never do that, right? But it also made me feel so much better to know that I'm not dumb. And I think women and men benefit from knowing that pressure to try to act a certain way needs to like just go away. If we're authentic instead, we're all so much happier. And it's a huge relief, I think, for everyone not to have to posture.
Well, and so much is changing. Technology is going to be changing so much about how we operate, and including probably, you know, our benefits and our retirement and how these things work because of the volatility in the market and making sure you understand that you're protecting what you've built all that up. So I think it's important for us to continue to put on that growth mindset, always be learning, always be accepting, because otherwise we're not going to be able to keep up. Things are going to be just changing too rapidly at the pace of computers, not at the pace of humans. And we're going to need to be vulnerable and make sure we're asking all the questions we need to, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. That's such a beautiful message that vulnerability can and should be safe and is actually sometimes smarter. And we are in a time, I think, where that's definitely true. And it's nice that more people are getting that idea and that message. I think that's really a good one. Yeah, really nice.
Let's see, one more good quote. There's so many good ones. I had a lot. I was like, and this one. I highlighted half the but I liked really kind of one of the last things that you said in the chapter, that if money is a magnifier, we believe women can magnify the good on this planet by gaining and then flexing access to it. And I thought that was, you know, just so, so perfect. Again, is how we're spending our money, how we're investing, not just in ourselves, but in our community, in the people around us, our families, to make all of us better through this generational wealth. And so just a little bit of your inspiration and why this is so important to you. Why don't you share just maybe some of your thoughts on?
Well, I'll share a story. So a long time ago, my daughter was probably 6. She's 14 now. We had Chinese food and she got a fortune cookie. I love fortune cookies. She got a fortune cookie and it said, "You will be very wealthy one day." And she said, "Oh no, I don't want to be rich. I want to be a good person." And then I thought, oh crap, you know what I just did? Subconsciously, I passed the legacy on from my dad, who was a huge hippie, who told me rich people are bad, that, you know, that there was this dichotomy between being good or being rich. Okay, that was his baggage for all the different reasons. And there's long stories, family cycles of, you know, he was the daughter of a single mom and his dad had died from alcoholism. So, of course, right, there's all these things that go into all of that. But I had just passed that on one more generation. But what is so beautiful is when we have children, sometimes we become experts on the fly of things that we've never even learned. Because I said to her immediately, I said, no, honey. Money is just a magnifier. If you're good, it increases your power to do more good. If you're a nasty person, it can increase your nastiness. But you're a good person, so don't you think more good people should get more money? That way they can do more good. And it came out because I was teaching her, because I didn't want her to repeat a cycle of violence, right? I'd never thought that before, and I'd never even healed it in myself until that second. But that was the moment where I finally understood this, because I do work with a lot of high net worth people. I'm in LA. I'm at a top level in my career. And let me tell you, there are some incredible people that have a lot of money and they do incredible charitable giving. They live very humbly. And then there are some very wealthy people who are not so happy and maybe not always so nice. But there are just as many nice people who are wealthy. It's just a reflection of who you are. And so, yes, if women have kind hearts for the most part, if women are responsible with money and they invest in communities, then I want that magnification to come into the hands of women so that we have better stewardship of wealth in general.
Oh, beautiful. I love the story. And absolutely, speaking of mirrors, kids are definitely your mirrors and it helps you see yourself in a better light. And you're like, whoop, we need to take a little detour on that one and let's course correct. But it's good. It really is. It just helps us, you know, stay more grounded too and remember the things that are important. Make sure we're teaching the right lessons. I was very fortunate that my stepdad was very good with money. And although my mom was not, you know, when my stepdad came into our life, just really right set us. And from a very young age, you know, not just getting an allowance, but really understanding like how much were the bills when we bought a house? Like, how does that even work? I was maybe 10 or 11, you know, like really explaining complex topics to me. And I was fascinated and I was happy to learn. And that made it so much easier as I became an adult to really understand. And we never had much money, but I understood how to save. I understood how to create a budget, how to balance my checkbook so that when I was out in the world by myself, I could do those things easily and it wasn't a struggle and I could go focus on the other things that were supposed to be, you know, my plan. So
yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, exactly. I feel like unfortunately we aren't in this country yet where everyone gets that education and I'm going to do what I can to change it. I know WOW is working on ultimately creating, you know, we have curriculums that we're extending and we hope to reach ultimately the public school system where everyone in second and fourth grade learns money and math skills because it's a lot more fun to learn math when you understand what it really is about. It's about how many cookies you get to keep when everyone has to share. It's about whether you have to ride a bike or you can afford to get a car when you want to go get to work. It's about real things people care about. So then your eyes don't roll to the back of your head about like math, you know. When it's really about what we get to keep and have, I think everyone cares. Squirrels care about that when it comes to their nuts. Like Every human being cares about that. So what we aren't really getting, some of us, you know, we get that education if you're fortunate to have a role model or a teacher, but it's not institutional yet. And I hope to change that.
Oh, beautiful. I wish you the best of luck. And I probably have a couple of contacts for you. So I'll start going through my Rolodex. Do we have those anymore? Well, before we head off, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you? And we'll add the details of your website and stuff into the show notes.
Sure. So first of all, if you want to get more of a financial IQ, you can come to Wealth Mastery for Women. It's a monthly series that we co-present with Leadership Global. So you can just look for Wealth Mastery for Women, Leadership Global. And you'll find us once a month on all kinds of topics ranging from crypto to NFTs to real estate to risk management to long-term care. We just had one today on long-term care, super important subject. And if you have questions on things that have to do with risk management, which is my particular area of expertise, so anything life insurance, disability, long-term care, infinite banking, cash value, life insurance, employee benefits, that's what Quantum Insurance Services does. That's the firm I co-founded in 2012, of which I'm the CEO. And I guess for now, that's it, unless you also want to check us out at Women of Wealth, which is www.womxnofwealth.com. That's an X to signify that we're very dedicated to diversity and inclusivity as well. And you can learn more about what we're doing with the Vision of Wow if you'd like to support or join.
Beautiful, beautiful. And if you guys haven't picked up your copy yet, don't forget to grab The Great Leadership Awakening, learn about Jennifer, Adepia, and so many other women on the rest of these episodes. We're going to sign off for today, folks. Thanks for joining us for season 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. You can find us where all the cool kids hang out, the Do Podcasts. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. You know you can catch us where all the cool kids hang out, the Do Podcast, on all the major platforms. And if you want to connect with Nikki directly, you can get a hold of me on my personal site, thenikkigreen360.com. There you can check out my website, you can see any of my new books, you can learn more about this podcast, and follow us on social. Can't wait to hear from you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.